Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You, my friend, are listening to The Happy Hearthstone. This show is brought to you by Doghouse Systems, who makes some of the best gaming PCs on the planet. If you want all the benefits of building your own computer but have no clue where to start, go ahead and let our friends take care of you. Check them out at doghousesystems.com and use the code MMOREPORTER for a free 128GB solid-state drive upgrade. And by Audible, the best audiobook program in existence. If you have any kind of commute or just wish you read more, I promise you this, Audible is the solution. Go to audibletrial.com/MMOReporter to download a free audiobook today. Hello and welcome to episode number 86 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and this week I am joined by probably the shiniest, best member of our entire community, and I'm super honored to have him. I'm joined by Josh. Josh, how you doing, man?
I'm doing really well, Andrew. Thanks for asking. How are you doing?
Of course, I'm doing great. Now, you know, usually at the top of the show, we want our guests to introduce themselves. So for people who might be a little unfamiliar with you or what you've done, you know, in the Hearthstone realm, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I've been playing the game since Alpha.
Oh, wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of that. It's fun. let's see, I've been playing almost, pretty much nonstop since then. I'm really into just casual play. I just get ranked up to, you know, 15 or 12 or whatever, just to get my chest. And then Arena, but if I must confess something.
Mm-hmm.
So I have an Arena deck that I've been sitting on for about a year.
That's a good hot second right there.
So I didn't realize what I was doing until like 3 months in. And then since then, like, an expansion had come out, and I was like, whoa, this deck is going to surprise people because there's none of the new expansion cards. And I was like, wait, if I wait even longer, it's going to be really freaky. And so then it's just been like a challenge to myself. I've been holding on to that deck, and I don't know, I'm going to save it for years and then pull it out, and people are going to be so confused.
So you don't have any of the new cards since a year ago in that deck.
I mean, yeah, I'd have to pull it up and see when the last one. Here, let me pull it up right now, actually.
And that would be really hard to pull off since the newest expansions actually come up more frequently in those decisions.
It would be almost near impossible. Because is Arena Wild? I forget.
It is, okay. Yeah. It includes all the cards except a few that they removed because they were pish-posh, basically.
All right. So there is Death Lord here.
So Naxx is in there.
Naxx is in there. King Zelic, that was Grand Tournament, right?
That was Grand Tournament, yep. Got that Joust.
Joust, yep. Mookla's Champion was Grand Tournament too.
That was yep. All right. So we might be missing League of Explorers on from there.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Wow.
So I'm just gonna hold on to it forever. It looks like actually a pretty terrible Hunter deck, so I'm sure I'll just go 0-3. Oh, I actually have one win with it, so I'm going to go 1-3, I'm sure.
At least it's not a zero win run.
That's true.
So it sounds like you might know this game pretty well. Is that fair to say, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, I know it pretty well. I mean, some of your listeners may actually know me from, you know, the last 4 years of this podcast, actually.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I've actually been on this podcast for 4 years, Andrew. I'm hoping some of your listeners have picked up on me by now.
Whoops. Well, this is awkward.
Oh, how the tables have turned, Andrew.
We might need to explain what exactly is going on here, Josh.
All right, let's do it. All right, so I've got a bit of good news, some bad news, and some good news. So it's kind of like a good news sandwich where like all the meat and veggies in the middle have just gotten totally gross. Like it's like the bread looks awesome, but in the middle is just this garbage. And I mean, the whole situation's not super fair for you guys because all the good news is really only for me. So I got a job at Blizzard. I'm joining the quest design team on World of Warcraft. It's one of my all-time favorite games. And honestly, it's basically my dream job. It's a job that I've dreamed about having. Actually, I've literally dreamed about having this job.
Wow.
Yeah, for a very long time. I'm super excited. I start later this month. But that also means I can no longer host Happy Hearthstone, which I'm really sad about. And I'm really sorry I have to leave you all so suddenly. Like, it's really unfortunate, just out of nowhere I'm dropping, especially because we had a little gap in our episodes because this sort of thing was happening and we had to figure out what was going on. But let's get to the other slice of good news at the bottom side of this sandwich. The show has never just been about me. This is not the Josh Hearthstone podcast. My favorite part of the show is that it's a community show. There's always been a new guest host coming on every episode. Dozens of listeners have stepped up and brought their own expertise onto the show, just like Andrew did here. Just a reminder to everyone, Andrew's the one who brought on that fabled Demon Zoo deck.
I broke deck battles in half.
Yeah, you did, man.
Basically.
We had to change the entire format of deck battles because your deck just wouldn't lose. I think it went for almost a whole year. Just toppling everything. It's crazy. My favorite deck that anyone has brought onto the show.
Which is a good reason why it did so well. It's nice if the person piloting it not only knows how to use it, but also enjoys using
That's
it.
That's true.
Obviously.
That does help. Unlike those other decks I hated, I just tanked them right away.
Yeah. This isn't going to do anything. Yeah.
It's my last episode here, Andrew. I'm just going to get out all the dirt.
Sure, please. Unearth it.
So once I found out this was happening, I went and talked with Chris, who runs MMO Reporter, the network that's hosted us since the very beginning and has always helped us. He hosts the website, the files, all that sort of stuff. And we just started talking about who from the community would be a good fit for taking over the reins of the show and kind of continuing it on. Because we didn't want the show to die, obviously. I've poured a lot of time into this. I love it. I think you listeners get a lot of enjoyment out of it, too. So I didn't want to just leave you stranded. And that's why Andrew is here. I'm super excited. Andrew has agreed to adopt Happy Hearthstone as his full-time gig. He's going to be the permanent host going forward. So, Andrew, thanks for stepping up and doing that.
Oh, are you kidding me? Since we talked about it, I've been in a state of humility basically ever since. My attack's been stuck at one. but in all seriousness, man, it's an honor. And even though I totally agree with you that this is a community-based show, this show doesn't have to have you, but it could not have existed without you. And I know I speak for the whole community when I say we're really going to miss you. And it just won't be the same without you. So really thankful for what you've done here. Now I want to address the elephant in the room. I almost said elephant in the closet, but that doesn't really affect things.
Well,
does
that's
it?
Even scarier, man. An elephant bursts out of a closet. That's terrifying.
I guess an inflatable elephant could fit in there. But anyway, there's always the question of how much is going to change. And if you've ever listened to a podcast where a host shift around or anything like that, you know that especially when you're talking about stuff, things can change. And the answer, at least immediately right now, is that not a whole lot really is going to change. I totally agree with Josh that at its core, Happy Hearthstone is the greatest community-driven Hearthstone podcast that exists. And it's been the focus from the very beginning, and it's going to continue to drive the show into the future. All of the different fun episodes that you've come to know and love, especially the deck battles and card reviews and stuff like that, they're all still going to keep happening, and we're going to have a lot of fun. There's going to be a heart of optimism, thankfulness. We want to keep things light. We want to keep things happy. Otherwise, wouldn't be much of a Happy Hearthstone, man, would it? And
you're
we were actually talking
at the angry, depressed Hearthstone.
I don't know if you could trust me if that were even on my radar, but not in my kitty. Actually, Josh and I were talking before the show about StrengthsFinder, which is kind of this self-awareness tool that a lot of people use to kind of look at what your strengths are. And there can be things like, you know, you really enjoy and get fueled by winning people over, or maybe it just comes naturally to you to have a lot of faith in people or to achieve goals, stuff like that. And one of my top five strengths is positivity. So I think you'll find that it's just natural to me to talk about what's fun, to keep things optimistic. If you want the salty, angry stuff, you can go to Reddit any day of the week and you'll find plenty. But we're going to keep this light and fun, just like always. That being said, I'm also not Josh, and I'd be a fool to pretend like everything's exactly the same. The biggest difference I've noticed between Josh and I is I'm a little bit more aggressive when it comes to laddering up and getting better at Hearthstone. In fact, I've run a podcast for the past year and a half called Valence Chosen, and what we've done on there for all this time is talking about strategies to get better at the game while not necessarily having to break your bank and stay kind of within a budget. So that's what our conversations have been for the past year and a half. And I'm sure that in some degree, you'll probably see more of those conversations around here because that's what I really enjoy. I've been so close to hitting legend a couple times and it hasn't happened quite yet. But I think I've got a good working knowledge about the game. And I really believe that while you're getting better at something, it gets more fun also. So we'll find a good balance between being able to improve at the game and having a lot of fun while we're doing it. And really, at the end of the day, I believe that the best is yet to come. You're not going to want to miss a single thing around here at Happy Hearthstone because we're going to keep being a community that loves one another, loves this game, and just has a blast. So I'm really excited to see where things go from here.
Yeah, me too. And of course, I'll be passing on all the guest hosts that have been on the show before, all the contact info for them to Andrew. So, I mean, even though I'll be gone, you'll still see some familiar faces from over the years,
absolutely,
like Scott and stuff like that.
I hope I'm cool enough for Scott, because that guy is almost as much of a part of this show as you are.
I know. Yeah, we're almost Siamese twins, podcast Siamese
that's
twins.
That's true.
But I'll make sure he comes on here at least.
Good, good.
To continue that going. So good. Just to explain some of the logistics real quick, just to get this out of the way before we go on with the episode, I'm going to keep GameDiplomat.com as my personal site. So I moved it off of MMO Reporter servers. I have all the old Happy Hearthstone episodes there for now, but all the new episodes of the show are going to be posted on MMO Reporter's website, right, Andrew? And you're going to be moving over all the old episodes onto that site too?
Yep, I've got some grunt work to do here, so that'll be fun.
Good man. And if you miss me, come by GameDiplomat.com and say hi. I'm going to be talking about my experiences as a dev there, going over to Blizzard, and also my time on EverQuest. And I'm going to be continue doing my small little indie game podcast, Game Diplomat, on the site. I can do that one. No conflict of interest there. And I created an...
Unless...
What?
Unless you were going to, you know, talk about some small game like, I don't know, Overwatch or something like that. I mean,
the small indie game.
Yeah, you know, they Overwatch. Need that kind of extra boost.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I also created a new AMA section on the site where you can ask any question and I'll be answering them. I'm trying to do at least a couple a week, so that's been fun. So stay in touch.
Absolutely. And I know that if you've been listening to the show for any amount of time, you're going to want to go over there and check his stuff out. I've been listening to Game Diplomat quite a bit, and I love that they're little bite-sized shows. I can listen to it pretty much in one commute, which then I don't have to worry about, when am I going to listen to this again? And you left me hanging or anything
yeah.
like that. So
yeah, I like that too, because you're just like, you know, you can be done with it and just move on.
Absolutely. Well, Josh, as we enter into a new era, we need to kind of start this episode. So we're going to start it like we always do. Why don't you tell us why exactly you're happy?
Well, I mean, I'm making World of Warcraft, right? Like I said, this
it doesn't
is,
get better.
Yeah,
than
this
that.
Is my dream job. I've wanted ever since I played WoW back in 2004 in my college dorms. I mean, this is my dream. I'm living it. It's weird. It's not very often that people get to live their dreams, and I got that
no.
opportunity. I'm really excited. Oh, and, oh man, this might make me a bad dad for not listing this one first. Just a few days after I got the job offer, I also found out that my wife and I are having a little baby girl.
Congratulations.
Thank
that's
you.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's super exciting too. There was a lot going on during the holiday break. Andrew, you have a little baby girl too, don't you?
I do. She's just over 6 months, and yeah, being a dad is the toughest, best thing in the world. I'll tell you what. So you'll love having a little girl, man. We were convinced the whole time that it was a boy. We actually waited until our kid was born
oh,
to find
wow.
out what the gender was, and it was so much fun. I did not want to do that at all until we actually did it. Now I can't imagine doing it any other way. But anyway, we were totally convinced it was a boy the entire time, and then all of a sudden I find out I have a daughter, and man, it is a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Congratulations on yours too.
Thank you so much.
So why are you happy?
Well, I'm happy because we survived icepocalypse over here. I actually live in Oklahoma currently, and this is one of those states that doesn't get a lot of ice or snow. So when it does happen, or when the meteorologists are thinking that they're going to see something, the school districts all shut down, people buy out all the milk and bread in all the stores, and then we ended up getting just rain.
Really?
Not even freezing rain, just rain.
Wait, so schools preemptively shut down?
They shut down the night before. My wife's actually a school counselor, so it was great news for us because I had the day off already, and so she did too. So we had a family day. But it's just so funny that, you know, and I trust the meteorologists that they're actually reporting what, you know, they know, but there's only so much you can know, I guess.
Yeah.
So. That was a lot
well,
of fun.
That's awesome. Congratulations on surviving that.
Thank you. My favorite thing were the memes that were on Facebook of people who had like spilled ice cubes out of their cup and said, "We will rebuild." So, you know, that's really what we've been through. And obviously, you know, thrilled for you, Josh, if I didn't say it enough, you know, it's one thing for you to leave. It's another thing for you to leave for your dream. So I know I speak on behalf of the whole community that we're happy for you, you know, and obviously I'm thrilled to get the opportunity to be here and to be happy with everyone else. You
we're
know?
Happy so, together.
That's right. Everyone's happy around here. Well, let's talk about some news. There honestly hasn't been a lot happening, even though it's been a few weeks since the fabled Mean Streets 4-hour marathon episode. I don't know how you kept your eyes open during that one.
Yeah.
You guys were losing it for a while there. But but in that time, really the biggest thing that's happened is there's been a lot of conversations from the game developers of Hearthstone, namely Ben Brode, Mike Danais, and Dean Ayala, who's otherwise known as Ixar. And they've been talking a lot about the design perspectives behind the show. There has been a YouTube series that Ben Brode's been making called Designer Insights, and they haven't been coming out as much lately. So the community's really been wondering, hey, where are those and what exactly is going on? I mean, it's really easy to pick apart a game like this and say, I want the meta to look like this and this card's too powerful and blah, blah, blah. So it's really nice that lately they've been giving as much information as they possibly can. And honestly, we don't deserve any of this. So anytime they come to us with some information, it's really a breath of fresh air and just shows how nice they are, honestly. And I'm sure as a game developer, Josh, you probably know the balance of the community wanting the game to look a certain way and you being the developer to make it whatever way you want. So can you talk to us about that at all, about what that looks like?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough balance, right? Because there's a lot of things. I mean, there's so many different factors. I mean, one of the big things is technical factors. Whenever people on forums or Reddit or whatever say, it would be really easy for them to change X when they're talking about like technical stuff, like when they're talking about like restricting cards in Arena or changing odds. If people say it's easy, it's rarely easy. Like there's usually so much, even if it sounds like it should be easy, it's not, just because of all the ramifications that would have. And designs, oh no, it's tough because a lot of players, there are so many different perspectives to have. And actually, Mark Rosewater, who's the lead designer on Magic. If you don't listen to his podcast, I highly recommend it. He does a podcast called Drive to Work, where he basically talks about game design all the time. And so it's a TCG. Magic is a physical trading card game, not digital. But he just goes into all sorts of aspects of especially card design. And his most recent episode was called Perspective, because people in the community started yelling at him about something. And basically his point was, like, everyone in the community has a part of the game that they love, right? Like you're into laddering, that sort of thing. Ryan, who's come on the show before, he's really only into Arena. Like if there's this one card that's overpowered in Arena or whatever, like to Ryan, that's a really big deal. And it's the thing he cares about most. But someone that doesn't care about Arena doesn't care about it at all. And designers have to be able to like take all of that in. And when there's limited resources of what can be done in today, sometimes you just have to decide, like, that issue that is affecting Arena isn't as big of a deal as something that's affecting Ladder. Like, we just can't afford to care as much about that.
Right, right.
And so it's just this tough balancing act where something that seems really important to you isn't necessarily important to the health of the game. And it's maybe it's important, but it's like fifth in the list or 10th in the list, and you have to tackle issues 1, 2, 3, 4 before you even begin thinking about that. Mm-hmm. It's tough to kind of have that big picture perspective, and it's honestly impossible for someone that's not working on the game, because they're looking at, okay, here are the next 4 sets, or I don't know how many sets they're building, but if they're building the next 4 sets, they know where they want to go. And so it might be, hey, okay, right now we're going to have this problem in the current meta, but it sets us up for this awesome moment or this awesome meta next meta. And that's really what we care about. So we're okay with this little bad part of the meta now because it's going to make it better in the future. And that's just a sign that we would have no idea. We couldn't know.
Josh, are you saying that Purify Priest will have its day?
I don't know about that. And actually, honestly, one of the best episodes of Mark Rosewater's podcast is the episode where he talks about making bad cards and why he makes it and why it's really important for the health of the game for them to release bad cards. And I think that's just a case with Purify. I think Purify is just a bad card.
There's been a lot of even when Ben Brode talked about it himself, he said that there were a lot of people who wanted to make a fun deck with this kind of idea with silence and stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There are so many different perspectives and different desires. The word that kept coming to mind as you were talking about it is priorities, right? Mm-hmm. So everyone has different priorities in life. And even just within the game of Hearthstone, you know, my priorities are going to be different from yours and Ryan's. And, you know, collection isn't even in there or anything like that. So, I mean, it just goes a number of different ways. And if you try to make everyone happy, ultimately you're not going to make anyone happy. But it was really cool to hear them. One of the big things they did talk about was the ladder system. They're not totally convinced that what they have is the best that it can possibly be, but I think that they do understand that it's going to take a pretty large overhaul for them to get something that's a lot more fair or a lot less grindy. That's really the number one complaint of everyone, is that it takes so many wins, so much time to get to the places that they want on the ranking system and stuff like that. So they mentioned a few ideas that possibly they could insert win streaks from rank 5 to legend. They could have some hard caps so that you can't lose stars after you get to rank 15, 10, or 5, something like that. And I think that there was another idea, but I can't even remember it now. So it was at least encouraging to hear that, because I know a lot of my friends who play are always trying to get up to that rank 5 chest so they can get their golden epic at the end of the month, because it's so pretty and everything. So being able to get there. Oh, the other thing was being able to, like, where you fall at the end of the month. So once the season resets, it's, you know, legend players go down, I think, to rank 16 or something like that. So everyone's just trying to grind up together, and that beginning of the month can be really, really brutal. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. What do you think of the ladder?
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I don't put enough time into it to have a great opinion on it.
That's fair.
Yeah. I will say, one of the reasons why I love Blizzard and was really excited about working there and kind of wanted to work there was, if you remember, one thing that always stuck with me, when World of Warcraft did Cataclysm, it was an expansion they did where they remade a whole bunch of their zones. Like, they just rebuilt huge chunks of the world. And one of the things the developer said during the panels at BlizzCon about that was that the developers are their own biggest critics, and that they're never happy with the state of the game.
Sure.
And that's kind of the mindset that I think the Hearthstone developers have. Like, when people are yelling at them, at like, the ladder is broken, the ladder's dumb, it's not working, like, they know that. Like, they aren't happy with how it is either. They know it can be better. Right. And I think they're working on that. They're their own biggest critics, too. So I don't know. I think it's great that they're experimenting and trying to find ways to do it. I don't have a silver bullet answer for them.
That's fair. That's totally. And I think it's nice to hear them say that too, that, hey, guys, let's slow down and realize that what we've got is functional at least. You know, the other thing they mentioned is that there shouldn't be many people who make legend, because once everyone's legend, it doesn't mean anything, right? So it should be hard to get there, but they do agree that at least there should be some balance between, you know, how much skill do you have and how much time do you need to invest in order to, I guess, achieve the highest or feel like you're part of the VIP club or something like that. So That's good. They talked a lot of Rena too, and we'll probably have to get Ryan on here to talk about some of the ideas here. But they said that you know, the River Crocolisk being the standard, you know, vanilla 2-2 or 2-cost 2-3, you know, that's sort of the go to, and it's just a lot of, you know, trading minions and doing the same things. They'd like to see a lot more swing cards, so, you know, tempo based cards like Implosion or Area of Effect cards that deal a lot of damage on the board at once, stuff like that that can really change the game. They'd like to see more of those get in, and also the kind of cards that are symbiotic with one another, like, I don't know why this is coming to mind, maybe because I played against it on Wild today, but there's that new card from the latest from Mean Streets that gets lower cost as you play Secrets for Mage.
Oh yeah.
I have no clue what she's called because nobody plays her except this one guy, but she's kind of useless unless you have Secrets in your deck. So finding some way to be able to make those, symbiotic plays more accessible to people. Cause right now you could choose a minion that has a dragon tag, hoping that you'll get some, you know, dragon triggered minions, and you won't get any. And
yeah.
And you just took a chance and you won't play Arena for a year. And then you'll be sitting around with this one win Arena. Something like that.
But so. It's going to pay off in 5 years when I finally play again, Andrew. It's going to be great.
I think it's like a car that didn't actually, you know, get used too much, but it just stays in the garage and it becomes an antique. And then you sell it for like $30,000 one day, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how that's possible, but if it is, man, you're going to be laughing at us all. So, last thing they said is that they're just super happy with the state of the meta and where the game is at. They were saying that win rates for the highest decks are right around like 52%, which, if you're not familiar with statistics and stuff for the meta, that's actually really, really good. You think about days when decks have been just completely oppressive, stuff like Face Hunter or Secret Pally and, you know, decks like that. It a lot of times you begun the game, you haven't even seen what you're drawing, but you're up against a paladin and you know you're going to lose. You know, there's not really a deck that does that necessarily where it's absolutely unbeatable. So it's nice to see that, and nice to hear that they have a lot of data backing them up too. They have their own inward secret data from Blizzard. You'll have to give us insider secrets next time, Josh, or something.
I highly doubt they'll let me do that. I don't want to get fired from my job immediately after getting it.
Yeah, okay. We should just let you work.
You could just imagine me, though, like a month from now. I'm just going to be sitting in a room surrounded by screens with tons of data about decks, just laughing, rolling on the floor. In my
If only they knew.
I'm going to find a way to do like a Scrooge McDuck dive into the data.
There you go. That's exactly what you should do. Anyway, so lots of stuff there. Lots of good stuff from them. And it sounds like we're going to even have more information from them going on to the future. If you want to see a full broadcast, Ben Brode and Ixar were on Twitch doing a live question and answer session. If you'd like to see that, we've got the link here in the show notes. And you can find that on Game Diplomat, soon on MMOReporter.com. And Josh, we talked about how's the best way to send you off. You know, obviously we've still got people who are crying profusely since the very beginning of this episode when they found out, and they can't stop. So
I'll be disappointed if like 4 car accidents haven't already happened at this point due to this announcement.
This is going to make news. I mean, it's going to be big. But as we talked about it, we thought that the best way to send you out is with a good old fashioned deck battle here on the Happy Hearthstone. What do you think, bud?
Man, I'm so excited about this. So I love doing deck battles, but it's always just kind of bummed me out that like I'm always just playing whatever deck has won. Like I never got to bring my decks onto the show. I mean, I did for the very first episode. I brought my deck against Dan's Beastmaster Hunter deck, and the arrangement was whichever one won would be the deck to go on, and his deck just crushed me. So I didn't even get that one. So I'm excited that I get to bring on, you know, a deck, maybe even more than one deck today.
We do have a few twists and turns. I mean, if there's any episode we're going to make some exceptions for, it's this one.
Good man.
If you're unfamiliar with our deck battle episodes, we do these about once a month, and a guest normally comes on here and brings their favorite deck, and we'll talk about how it works, what cards are in it, why they like playing it, and it all goes down in a best of 3 battle against me, and I'll get to bring the current reigning champion deck of the show, which, had it not been for the Happy Hearthstone Hall of Fame, would still probably be my Demon's deck. So thank you for innovating and creating that. And if someone's able to beat three challengers in a row, then they will be inducted into that Hall of Fame, and everyone will clap and cheer, and everything will be great. Yeah. So the defending deck right now is Jarrett's Future Proof Tempo Mage, which is set for the next expansion, which I guess is in April or something like that. So if you're interested in hearing more about that, you can go to episode 83 of Happy Hearthstone and check out the full guide and all the cards, substitute suggestions, and all of that. So Josh, I asked you if you could just make the Joshiest deck possible. So what kind of thing have you created here?
All right. So, all right, I'm going to be totally upfront. I'm bringing three decks onto this show, Andrew, and you can't stop
Whoa!
Me. And if we're talking Joshiest deck, it's got to be my Super Greedy Priest deck that all just has mm-hmm. all the weird synergies, heals, Inner Fire, Divine Spirit, all the cards that I never get to play in real decks, but I just love so much with all of my heart. Because if I could just play Priest for the rest of my life, and I don't want to play this fancy dragon priest everyone's doing, right? I want to play the weird, quirky priest that's playing all the cards nice. That counter very specific cards, just so of that course. I can ruin your day.
You might be happy on this show, but you're conniving outside on the ladder, huh?
Actually, so fun fact, I tried to get my wife into trading card games. Uh-huh. And so we started with Magic because it's physical, right? I thought it maybe sure. be a little easier holding the cards, feeling them. Did that, and I wasn't even thinking. I was a dum-dum, is a nice word for it. I was playing my blue deck, which is all about, like, countering. Basically, whatever she tried to do, I would just go, no, you can't do that. It's mine now.
Oh.
And, like, halfway through the game, she's like, I hate this game. This is the worst. Why are we playing?
And I was like, I don't get to do anything.
I should have thought that through better. I should have played, like, a green deck, or so I just put out minions. Oh, you killed my stuff. Oh, no. You're so good at this. No. So that's how I like to play. So the other deck I'm going to bring is the, I call it my Dark Flight Warrior deck. It's my Dragon C'Thun hybrid. This was like the one deck that I built that I felt really good about at the time, and I still think it was actually really good. I still think it's solid. It didn't get any cards in the latest expansion, so it's kind of fallen out. It's just a little weaker than some of the newer stuff, but it's still, okay. I think, solid. And it's a really fun deck for me. It's half dragons and dragon synergy cards, then half C'Thun, and then C'Thun synergy cards.
Sure. I remember hearing you talk a little bit about this on a previous episode too, right?
Yeah. I mentioned a few times. Actually, one of the reasons I decided to bring it on the show was this is the only deck that I've talked about on the show that I get asked about fairly regularly, at least when I was talking about
Okay.
it. People were constantly sending me messages on Twitter or whatever for the deck list. And so I'd always send it to them, but it seemed like it was a deck that people were even kind of interested in. So I figured it'd be nice to finally give the deck list and talk about it a bit.
Awesome. Well, we'll talk to us about what are the strategies for this Dark Flight Warrior. How does it win?
Yeah, so it's kind of a late game deck, but it's not late game like standard control warrior, which is just like a ton of removal and armoring up and just outlasting and going into fatigue. This is about throwing bodies on the board constantly. The idea is by using both the dragon deck and the C'Thun deck, because both those decks have some suboptimal cards, especially on the C'Thun side that you just have to throw in there because you need C'Thun cards.
Mm-hmm.
But having both of those lets you basically choose only the very best and the ones that are kind of focused on just getting hyper value. So things like the Blackrock Corruptor, Alexstrasza's Champion, like cards that are just, when you look at the straight stats, are just OP. So you're trying to get as many of those in your hand. And then you use those early on to kind of stay alive and force them to use removal. And then when you get to the end, you just have tons of dragons. And then you're just dropping fatty after fatty after fatty to the point where they've already used their removal in theory before then, that you just eventually overwhelm them.
Okay.
It's not the best plan. I could tell by the way you said, okay, you weren't sold on this plan.
Well, so I was thinking the really competitive Dragon Warrior deck is very dependent on a good curve, right? Yeah. So if you have the, four cost dragon on turn four and the five cost minion on turn five and the six cost, like if you have the perfect curve, it's kind of unstoppable.
Yeah.
And you've got enough early minions and I guess tools in the early game here that if you can get the right cards on the right turns, I don't think there's any way that you can come up against it, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, those are like the great games, right? Where everything falls into play and you're just like, I'm unstoppable. This is amazing. But for every one of those games with this deck, the biggest downside is you're going to draw all dragon synergy cards and only C'Thun cards, or all dragons and then C'Thun synergy cards. There's been so many games where you're sitting there and your C'Thun's at 8/8 and you have two ancient shield bearers in hands and you're like, dear God, please just let me draw anything that buffs C'Thun. Then it's like, oh, did you want Alexstrasza's champion? No, I wanted you on turn one. Where were you? So, there's just so much combo in this deck, and because it's two different strategies mashed together, that's also why it's super minion heavy. Because I tried it with more with stuff like Shield Slam and stuff in there, which is really good. The trouble is, if you start cutting any of the synergy cards from either side, you just have so few that it's really unreliable to proc them. So you pretty much just have to go with all the C'Thun minions and then the cards that rely on that, and then all the dragons and the cards that rely on that. And once you have kind of critical mass on both sides, there's just not a lot of room left for spells. But man, when it works out, it feels glorious because your board is just full.
Oh, absolutely. And if you've got all those beefy bodies on board, I mean, hitting your opponent for what, like 20 plus damage in a turn? Yeah. That feels pretty good. So,
yeah.
Well, talk to us about some of the key cards, the things that you got to have in order to build this deck.
All right. So Brand Bronzebeard, number one. So many of these cards, especially Dragon Synergy and C'Thun, all of them are battle cries. Bronzebeard is especially important for making sure C'Thun gets to 10. Because if you have Bran, if you have any other C'Thun buffing card that instantly puts him to 10-10, and you need to get him to 10 for all the other cards in the deck, like Ancient Shieldbearer, which is another key card. Let's just jump to that one.
Sure.
That's the 7 cost 6/6. That battle cry, if your C'Thun has 10-10, you gain 10 armor.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, which is bonkers. Basically, that card is the reason why it's a Warrior C'Thun deck. And then Alexstrasza's Champion, which is the 3/3 with charge for 2, if you have a dragon, is the reason it's a dragon deck. Those two cards are just so incredibly OP that that's why I built the deck. And then with Brand Bronzebeard, Ancient Shieldbearer will give you 20 armor, which is just ridiculous.
There's no coming back from that. I mean, it's almost Reno, basically.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessitate that you're at 1 HP.
Yeah.
So
it's Reno that will always happen no matter what your health is.
Yeah, golly.
Yeah, and that's the sort of card that if you have any sort of dragon on the board and then you do that, your opponent usually just concedes. Because they were trying to burn you down because that's really their only option. And then once that starts happening, it's over. And also, fun, Brand's Bondbeard is 3 and Ancient Shieldbearer is 7, so late game it's the perfect combo. You can play it without having to wait a turn.
That's no Emperor Thorsen required for that one.
C'Thun is obviously the other one because a quarter of your deck is buffing it and he drops a ton of damage when he drops. And then Twilight Guardian is actually another key deck. It's a neutral, that's the dragon.
Yeah.
He's the 3/6 taunt for 4. You have to have a dragon in hand. But the biggest problem with this deck is just getting rushed down early. And this guy, the 3/6, is just perfect stats for taking out, two or three enemy little swarmers before he goes down.
Nice.
Yeah.
That sounds really good. I mean, the other thing that I forgot to mention earlier that I really like about decks like this, even though they might be a little bit less reliable than something that just commits to one, is how much of a surprise it can be. So if you play your Alexstrasza's or if you play one of the Beckoners of Evil on turn two, they know you're playing C'Thun until that Blackwing Corruptor hits the board, and you've just got them saying, what?
Yeah,
and they're trying to play catch up to just figure out what the heck you're doing, which is a huge value when you're going up against someone.
Yeah, I totally agree. That it's actually been really fun, and sometimes I will intentionally only show one. if I can, I love showing Alexstrasza's champion early. Because then they're like, oh, it's Dragon Warrior, right? And so if I drop that and go face, they start panicking. Because one of my big goals is I need them to use their removal in the early game. Because if they don't have it once the dragons drop, I'm golden.
Sure.
And so by throwing down Alexstrasza's champion early and hitting face or something like that, it just triggers them like, uh-oh, this guy's going to try and rush me down with Dragon Warrior. I need to start removing. And so they'll start using their removal to deal with little things like the Blackwing Technician and stuff like that, just because they're worried that I'm trying to rush them down.
You're just playing mind games at this
point. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, Bran, Ancient Shield, or Bran, oh, what's the, I can't remember, the 3-cost, 2-1 that deals 2 damage and get a buff.
The Disciple of C'Thun.
Thank you, yeah. Then you do Bran, drop that guy, your C'Thun's instantly 10, you dealt 4 damage, like, and they're just, they weren't expecting it. It feels so good.
That's crazy.
Ugh. And then the shield bearers drop, and I'm armoring up for 40, and they have no clue what's happening. And I just love my life, and people can run into my room and lift me on their shoulders. It feels great.
At least the experience is like that or something.
So that's what I'm hoping happens in our deck battle, that I get one of those good games and not the games where I'm just cursing myself for splitting the deck.
I think I hope for you that that happens too.
Thanks, man.
it'll be good. We'll keep it fun on here.
Yeah.
Now, you've also got 2 other decks, and you kind of told us a little bit about them. Do you want to hit us with any other news about them?
I mean, so the Greedy Priest deck is also kind of the direction I really wanted them to take Priest. I've mentioned it a few times on the show, like, I really like the unique aspect of Priest with the healing and the health buffs, and using the health buffs with stuff like Inner Fire and Divine Spirit to get more value out of them. I think that's a really interesting, cool style of deck. So that's kind of the Priest decks that I like building, just because that's what I want Priest to be good at. But as I was going through and building that deck, I just started putting in all the cards that, like, I want. So I put, like, 2 copies of Convert in here, because I love that card. It's an awful card, but I just love it. I put 2 copies of Resurrect, even though it's not really a total Resurrect deck, because that's just one of my all-time favorite cards. A copy of Mind Control, because that card was, like, my favorite card for the first 2 years of this game. So it's all just a deck in there that doesn't actually have a strategy. It's just cards that I like.
So that is the Josh deck then.
Yeah, that's totally the Josh stretches. Deck. I don't know how I'm going to win. I'm just going to have fun, and maybe I win, I guess.
If you do, it will be the game of the century.
That's true.
Basically.
And hey, you're talking about the value of surprise, right? No one's going to see these converts coming.
I don't even know what's in there. And I just because you mentioned Convert, I have to tell a quick story because I was playing a game on the ladder. I, you know, maybe rank 10 or something like that. And I was playing a Reno Mage deck, and it was up against a Control Warrior, which is a really tough matchup because you're both just trying to get to the very end. And he had played Elise Starseeker earlier, which gives you the option later in the game to change all of your deck into legendary minions, right? So very powerful at the end of the game when you've got a few cards that you can't really use anymore, but now they're big buffed legendaries, hopefully. And we're at the very end of the game, like 1 card left in each deck, and he plays a Nexus Champion Sarad, which he had gotten from that Elise Starseeker. So he hero powers, he has some spell, I don't know what it is. I had played my Reno, and what does he convert? My Reno. And so he gets a copy of it in his hand. This is the right card that I'm thinking of, right?
Yeah.
And so he gets a copy of Reno in his hand, and because he's only got 1 card left in his deck, guess what? There aren't any duplicates.
Instant heal.
So he was able to outlast me because of a convert off a Nexus chip. So I have seen convert win games before, and it did not feel very good, but we'll see if it can do some work here.
So what you're saying is my Greedy Priest deck is actually the Unicorn Priest deck that everyone's been waiting for.
So you're saying there's a chance.
What was all that 1 in a million talk?
And then the last one here, it seems like, is like a absolute legacy deck. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I'm super excited. So this deck was the reason I decided to bring more than one deck on. I'm bringing on the very first deck I ever brought onto the show, the Warlock deck that I brought to face Dan's Beastmaster Hunter in like 2013, I think. I rebuilt it from scratch as best as I could. I never built a formal deck list because it was the very first time and we weren't just doing deck lists. So I looked at the screenshots and based it on cards that I know I loved at the time, like Gurubashi Berserker and Frostwolf Warlord, Senjin Shield Master, Cult Master, also one of my favorite cards of all time. So it's kind of like a really bad zoo deck because it's only the basic classic cards, and it's kind of what people were trying to do before there were enough cards to make a real zoo deck.
Sure.
So I'm super excited. It's the first deck I ever brought onto the show. It's going to be the last deck I play on the show. Just crazy. Feels right.
It's the way it should be, yeah. Right?
Oh, and I also threw in one very special legendary. It's the first legendary I ever opened, and I've opened 4 copies of it so far. So
Holy cow.
I feel like it's integral to my Hearthstone experience, and I'm really, really hoping I draw it because it's good fun.
It wants to be played, and I don't even know what that card is, so I'm eager to see what it is.
I know. I'm hoping that we could talk about it after the show, because we played it, and it just changed everything. I really believe.
All right. Well, we should get to it then. So the way we'll do this is obviously different from our typical deck battles, but we'll do the Dragon C'Thun Warrior versus the Future Tempo Mage. We'll do the Greedy Priest versus the same. And then in a match of the oldest school possible, we'll have Josh's Old School Warlock and I've rebuilt Dan's Beastmaster Hunter. So we'll see how these decks have held up over, you know, eons and eons of time and see how they go. So Josh, are you ready for your first deck battle as a challenger and your last deck battle, as it were?
I'm ready, man. Bring it on. Let's do this. You're going down, Andrew.
Yeah.
I'm finally going to get vengeance on Dan. You're his surrogate.
Just channel all of the anger that you felt back then when you lost the very first one and use it to your advantage
I
now.
Will. I'm Let's full dark side is. Now. I don't have to be happy anymore. I'm the evil Hearthstone.
That's right. All right, well, we're going to go play these real quick and then we will be right back. The battle is over, the dust has settled, and we have 3 pretty insane matches to report back on, don't we, Josh?
Yeah, man, this is why I love playing these weird decks, because they make some weird games.
So, to go all the way back, if we can even remember that far, the very first one had the Future Tempo Warrior Mage against your... Man, I can't even remember the cool name for it. The Dark Flight Warrior deck. And in that one, the mage prevailed with exact lethal.
Yeah, man. So I didn't even think about counting lethal ahead of time because I didn't think you had it. And then after I hit end turn, I was like, wait a second, started doing the math. Oh, no, because I knew you had fireballs in hand. Uh-huh. I totally forgot that the little skeleton dude had spell power. And so I thought I was too shy.
There were actually a couple times where I forgot that I had, I think, 2 spell damage on board. And I think there was a time where I killed one of your Sylvanas. I killed your Sylvanas and I didn't even think about it.
Yeah. I was super confused because you played Antonitis and then killed Sylvanas. And I was like, whoa, that was a ballsy play.
I had worked out in my mind that I could frostbolt your Sylvanas and your other minion and everything would freeze. And then I could just go face and unload all my stuff, and then I'd kill you next turn. But then that Sylvanas got killed, and I had already put in everything, so I just sat there praying, don't take my Antonitis, don't take Antonitis.
So we got to talk about one moment in that game in particular.
Sure,
because there was a moment where you said, well played, when I had a C'Thun on the board with lethal, and you had a secret. And I was sitting there thinking like, okay, if that's vaporize, I don't want to attack. But then you said, well played. And I was like, Andrew wouldn't troll me. That must not be vaporize. Cool, I'll attack. And then I just did it. And it was vaporize. You totally trolled me.
Little did you know that I had it in me.
I know. I didn't think you did. I was like, oh, Andrew would do that. And then you did.
And if I'm honest
with you. So I wrote down my very first note here for talking point. Uh-huh. I wrote down devious devil. Andrew, you are a devious devil.
Now, complete honesty and vulnerability here. I actually forgot that that was Vaporize.
Really?
And I seriously thought that you had won the game. And once... and so I sat there like, dang it, man, I can't... Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. I just played right into that, so...
That makes me feel a little better then, because I didn't think you had it in you, and you really don't. You just had bad memory like I did a couple times.
I still was okay with the troll. Yeah. Because, I mean, that was a pretty good troll.
It was an excellent troll.
That game was so close so many times. And there was one point early in the game where you had a Blackwing Corruptor on board. And I remember thinking, if he attacks my face, I'm going to lose this game. And I think I just managed to get enough value out of the Cabalist Tomes. I mean, those were the those were the breadwinners of that match.
Those were crazy. You had so many polymorphs right when you needed it. Like, it flashed back to Paval, right? When I drop you Sarah, right. And then you play Cabalist Tome polymorph on
me. The polymorph, yep. I think I had 3 polymorphs that game, if I'm not mistaken. But... And that's so helpful. And I got a Cabalist Tome off of Cabalist Tome, which when you get that, the value never ends. Mm-hmm. So I think I just had too many options for you to win that
so
one, honestly.
If I could toot the horn of my deck for a little bit.
Please do.
All right. I was still going to win that game until I drew everything but I think 13 cards and still had C'Thun at 6/6. My hand was filled. It was basically
crazy.
So the first half of the game was dream scenario where I had all my dragon synergy cards. I was feeling great. And then right after turn 5, I played my Azure Drake and I wasn't sure if I should to try and draw another one. But I played my last dragon. And then for the rest of the game, basically my entire hand was dragon synergy cards with no dragons. I had 2 Alexstrasza's champions. There were 3 turns. That if I drew a dragon, I had lethal and could win with Alexstrasza, champion. But I had those. I had Blackwing Corruptor, Netherspite Historian. And then I had C'Thun, and then all the cards that rely on C'Thun being at 10 health. Oh, it was so painful. I just petered out so hard. It's a perfect example of, like, when the deck fails. Just watch the second half of that match, and you'll know if you can stomach playing this deck or not.
Which they'll be able to do on your Twitch, by the way, right?
Yeah. So I live stream the whole thing. We'll put it in the show notes. We'll embed it in the page, so you'll be able to see it.
Very good.
Yeah, but
and I totally forgot that I think you got Bran off with both of the Ancient Shield Bearers, didn't you?
Just one of them.
Just one. Yeah. Of them. So okay, it felt like a ton of armor.
Yeah, it just is a ton of armor. So the Bran play was actually, that was one of my desperate play. I'd basically done nothing for 2 turns before that. Or I played the Twin Emperors without the proc.
Right.
And I did nothing for a turn. And then I was just like, Bran's in my hand. I just have to play it so he wastes his turn killing it. Just so I buy a turn. It was a sad Bran play.
But ultimately you got at least a little bit of value. That was a nuts game.
Yeah, it was
fun,
super
though.
Swingy. It was back and forth, and you had Antonitis, and you had tons of fireballs. Oh, wait, no. That wasn't Antonitis that game, right?
That's how I finished the game. Yeah,
it was. That was brutal. That was because I was at one point, I think I was close to like 40 health, and you just...
Right, because of all the armor.
Yeah, you barreled through it in like 2 or 3 turns. It was brutal.
When that spell damage starts to rack up and you get infinite fireballs, it's kind of hard to... Put up a fight against that.
It felt like you were like setting up a chain gun the whole match, and then just at the end just let loose, and I could do nothing to stop it.
It's like a chain nuke gun or something, because each of those fireballs hurts pretty bad.
Yeah.
The second match.
Okay, so let me tell you something that happened in the second match. So
I'd love to hear this.
I was so bummed at myself after we had talked about Convert. So you played Ragnaros.
Right.
I had Convert in hand and in Tomb and enough mana to play both, and I didn't.
Oh, no.
And, like, Ragnaros would have been the perfect play next turn. Like, it just would have been so perfect. But I had the Convert from the beginning of the game. I got it in my mulligan. And I had just set it aside in my mind as being, this is for Antonitis. And mm-hmm. so I just forgot about it. And the Dang whole time it. I was just like, oh, I could have, we had spent so much time talking about convert. I could have had the perfect convert play where, like, talk about a tempo swing, steal their rag into right, your deck, right. and then put a Ragnaros into your hand. Like, that's just crazy.
Double rag. And once you get, if you can get both of those on board, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that's, so, that is sad.
That's like, that's what the deck was built to do, and I just couldn't do it. And then your stupid polymorph again.
Yeah.
So I thought I had the perfect opening hand. I had Injured Blade Master, Circle of Healing, and Resurrect. And I was like, okay, this is great. Then I drew another Resurrect and Onyx Bishop. And I was like, this thing needs to die. Just please die. Like, I need to bring it back 10 times. And then right when it's getting close to dying, you polymorphed it.
Yeah, I couldn't let you do that, man. And then it paid off when you played an Onyx Bishop and your little sheep came back.
I know. It was just so depressing.
I'm sorry.
Did you laugh out loud when I played the Onyx Bishop?
I laughed out loud when the bell rang and the ba rang right behind us. So, yeah, I think that deck does look like a lot of fun. And you can tell it's all of the fun, super greedy stuff. But I think a little lack of playing maybe hurt in the long run there.
Yeah,
I guess.
And I mentioned this on my stream too. I didn't play test with this deck at all. I built this deck yesterday when we decided this is what we were gonna do.
Right.
So I was
right.
like, all right, I'm just gonna build a priest deck. And so I just built a priest deck and just went through and just clicked all the cards I liked. It was like, done. Let's see how
Maximum
it goes.
Fun. Very nice. And then the legacy battle, the old school Warlock versus Dan's Beastmaster Hunter. How did it feel to get back in the ring again with this one?
It felt so good. Going into it, I was like, all right, this is it, man. This is my chance. Like we kind of mentioned, as weird as like, I don't know if like maybe sports players have this sort of thing where like they go back and like play the same team 4 years later or something. Like I had that same feeling. Like this is a chance to redeem myself. I'm like Rocky and Rocky Balboa, right? Like I'm retired coming out. And all right, so let's talk about the legendary because I was super excited that I drew it.
Because we saw him.
I drew him, Lorewalker Cho, baby. It felt good. Golden version too. I've opened two golden versions of him,
and that surprised me.
Yeah. So all right, so
how did it feel opening that as your very first? Well, yeah, you never see Lorewalker Cho. So I'm sitting there thinking, this guy's so bad. And then I start looking at my hand and I've got almost all spells. And I start thinking, oh my gosh, in order to take care of him, I have to like give him spells, which ultimately ended up hurting me in the long
run. I mean, it felt glorious because one of the things we did on Happy Hearthstone for a while was we tried to get like screenshots and stuff of people killing mages with sheep. Like killing them with the tools that they gave you as like an extra insult, right?
Sure, sure.
I tried to kill you with Unleash the Hounds. Like it got me the win because it let me kill your one health taunt guy with a hound.
Right.
But I
really
wanted to kill you directly with a hound. But it was awesome, man. In my hand, I had two Unleash the Hounds. It was crazy.
And you used one of them to clear the taunt that stood in the way.
Yeah.
Of your minions just obliterating me.
Yeah, that was the only thing that got me the win. So I played Unleash the Hounds for 1/1/1 hound. You thought it was bad post-nerf. It's even worse when you only get one of them.
So the vengeance has finally been dealt.
Yeah.
From Warlock to Hunter.
It felt good, man. It felt good. I was really worried for a while. Like around halfway through, you were dealing some heavy damage to my face. And then I remembered that Warlock decks back then didn't run healing. So
which is crazy.
I had no way of getting back up above 15. I was really nervous.
Yeah, I realized that Hunter really had a huge advantage because I can just keep on unloading. I mean, and this runs a lot of smaller things like Arcane Shot and Explosive Shot. The Misdirection was probably my favorite part of the game because that card is never played anymore.
And it did work.
You had a Chillwind Yeti on board, and that was it. And I was looking at my hand thinking, if I just play Misdirection, he's going to hurt himself, or maybe he'll just take out whatever he plays. And that was the turn you played Lorewalker Cho. So at first I thought, okay, either we're just not going to deal with him at all, or you're getting four to the face, which you ended up getting that. But
I was so sad when I saw Misdirect. I was like, don't kill Lorewalker Cho. Hit my. I know it's like the wrong tactical move, but just hit right, him in the right. face. We got to play with this card.
He needs to have his day, and he did. The other thing that I forgot is that this deck runs the Beast, which is the legendary 6-cost 9/7 minion that gives your opponent a 3/3 when it dies.
Oh, yeah, Sir Finkelton or something.
Right, and it's such a funky card. It sat in my hand for most of the game, me thinking, do I play with this? Like, it's hugely threatening, but I had a feeling your deck was going to run Power Overwhelming and stuff like that, where you could trade into it pretty easily. And then I just paid 6 mana to give you a 3/3, which I didn't feel good about, so... Yeah. I don't know if that would have been the better move or not.
Probably
but
not.
Congratulations.
I had two Shadow Bolts in my hand basically since
the
start.
Oh, that's right.
And just nothing good to play them on.
Yeah, those took out some of my heavier minions that I was trying to get back some steam with.
No dice. So I will say one cool thing about this deck that is different nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you play the class, you know how you unlock golden versions of like classic and basic cards?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Almost the whole deck is gold. And so that's really cool. I'd never played with a deck with that many golden cards. It was really fun.
And you know when you have an all-gold deck, if you go second, you get a gold coin also.
Yeah! So I must add some in there that weren't gold, because I remembered that, and I've never had the gold coin. And I got the coin, and it wasn't gold. So I must have thrown something in there.
You'll have to go back and play just one more match and sub out a few cards or something.
Just so I can have the gold coin, yeah.
It's got to be a fun experience.
But that's super fun, Andrew. I'm super excited that you thought of that idea to play the original two decks again. The very first deck battle ever. That was just a really fun game to end it on.
Good. I'm glad. It's coming back full circle to the glory days of the Happy Hearthstone, you know, as it were.
It is. And even though I went 2-1... I still feel good about getting vengeance on Dan. I'm gonna send him a message right after this. I got his phone number. I'm gonna harass
him. You should. And Dan, I'm very sorry, but your deck just didn't hold up well, I guess. That's my excuse. That's what I'm going with.
Hey, that's good. Andrew is the new host. There you're gonna have many moments when you have to apologize to deck creators for not steering their deck to victory. So this
playing
is just
the right
first
one.
Of many.
Ugh. Oh boy.
And sometimes, well, you know, sometimes it's not always your fault. Sometimes you're just faced up against a bad matchup. And then other times you're going to be like, wow, I totally could have won that game and I didn't. And you just know the deck winner or the deck builder is watching the game just shaking their head, disappointed in you.
I remember after leaving you with the Demon Zoo, I was on the edge of my seat every episode, like thinking like, please play it right, please play it right, please play it right. So there is
by the end,
there's
I probably did, but I'm sure I didn't at the start.
Hey, at least you won them.
That's true.
That's what matters at the end of the day. Well, that's awesome. We're going to move on to our community section, which honestly we don't have a lot for. No iTunes reviews as of late. So be sure to jump on iTunes and just leave a quick review to let other people know that you enjoy the show. It's a great free way to promote and just... keep it going there. But I did want to take some time in the community, Josh, for you to just share any memories that you have, really. I mean, what have been the pivotal moments, either highs or lows, of this show over the past 86 episodes?
Oh, highs and lows? Wow.
Let me ask a simple question. Okay. Like that. Like, just, you know.
So one of the, I mean, probably the highest point of the show, probably the most fun, was pretty early on. I don't remember exactly when, maybe in like the 20s, mm-hmm. I got invited to Blizzard as kind of the first media event for Hearthstone because nobody was really covering it. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple podcasts and then like a couple fan sites, like one of the guys who made Hearthpwn was there.
Right.
And then other than that, it was just small time podcasters or streamers, probably not even streamers then. Streaming wasn't really a big deal yet. So it's just us and we got to play the game there and they let us play and we got to sit around with the developers like Ben Brode, I'm totally blanking on Eric Dodds. Those two were kind of the two main guys. And so they just sat and talked with us for the whole day and we just got to hang out. Christina Sims, who was the community manager, I'm not sure if she's still in Hearthstone. I think she might be on a different game at Blizzard now. But we just got to hang out at the studio and play Hearthstone before it was out, before anyone really had access to it. Wow. And then we got to do a and then afterwards, one of the cool things I thought, everyone that was there, we all got online afterwards and recorded an episode together for all of our shows. So they came on Happy Hearthstone, and then I went on their shows, and then we all just kind of recorded our experiences. And it was just a really cool first moment in the Hearthstone community starting to form, and everyone was really collaborative and working together and helping each other be great. And that was just a really cool moment that, you know, we've tried to continue on this show going forward. I thought it was really cool.
I was just about to say, I think that really laid the foundation for what you ended up doing here. And probably that experience that was really the core from the very beginning ended up spilling over and saying, hey, we can keep this going with more people outside of the Blizzard offices and really just keep the enjoyment of this game alive.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, that's probably my favorite memory. Obviously, you know, I met Scott through this show, and I mean, we're friends now. I mean, we haven't really met up in real life, but we talk all the time. And so, I mean, obviously making a friend like Scott is really cool. That's been really awesome. And just, I mean, in that vein, I meant to add up like how many guests have been on the show, because I'm not sure exactly, but I've got to meet so many awesome people. I mean, I can't even think of one host that I'm like disappointed was on the show. I was constantly amazed how good people were and how friendly and nice and fun, because I went into it like not sure, like, how am I gonna get people to come on the show every single week, and like, am I gonna get some real creeps or something? But I mean, no, everyone was awesome. I mean, continually, just one after another, I was always impressed with how fun and friendly they were. It's been so cool.
It's pretty incredible. And I've heard it said before that great people attract great people. So, you know, it's no small thing that the entire community is going to be fostered from the center of it. So through all those hosts, it's been awesome to have you steering the ship, man. And really bringing all of us along with you, because that's truly what the journey is, right?
Yeah, it's been fun. So, I mean, thanks to everyone. Special thanks to anyone who's been on the show, kind of hosted with me. Andrew, you know, I mean, especially if you come on for a deck battle, you have to do a lot of work to get those show
notes
built.
Holy cow.
It is no small feat.
You wouldn't think it would be that much, but I remember spending a good, you know, few hours just thinking through, okay, why do you play Volcanic Drake in this in this deck? And how can I explain that briefly and concisely? But you know, it was always worth it. And I think it's cool to even look back on those and look through the archives and just see how many people have contributed time, energy, mental capacity, just to give other people a fun show and be able to enjoy the game together.
Yeah, I mean, and totally. I mean, and that's part of why I put a lot of effort in over the Christmas break, because I had to move the website. Long story short, we got hacked and all sorts of stuff. I had to recreate every single post from scratch. I did it because of just what you said. So many people put so much time into building this archive of knowledge. Right, right. It's so fun to me to go back and look at deck lists from like 3 years ago. Not because like I would need to learn from them or these are the decks I want to play, but to look at like, how did people view Northshire Cleric 3 years ago? What did people think about, you know, Starving Buzzard pre-nerf? You can see what people were saying pre-nerf and post-nerf.
Right, right.
It's just really fun. It's like little time capsules.
And it's cool for a show that's been around this long. I mean, not every show can say that, you know. So it's fun to be able to go back and see what has been, and certainly the game is not dead by any stretch. No. So we've got a long ways to go now to see what's to come as well.
Yeah.
Well, Josh, there's this certain thing that you do on every episode of the Happy Hearthstone, and up until now, the card of the week has been chosen by the guest, and I guess technically you're the guest here on this, so I think it'd only be fitting if you chose a song or chose a card, and as I eloquently put it, gave us a little ditty, as it were.
So, you mentioned this before we started recording, and I realized I did what I always hated. Where, like, I just totally forgot about the song. Because, like, probably more than half of the guests that come on the show forget that they have to sing a song. And so,
even though it's on every episode,
I know it's on every episode, but like, I think when you're so focused on preparing for the deck battles and stuff like that, or the guys, it just, it slips your mind. So maybe you'll find a better way of reminding people, Andrew, because I was never good at it, clearly, because I forgot to remind myself.
I think it's part of the charm, though, of coming up with a song in
the
moment the
fly,
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to make something up, and then we'll get into it. Does that sound good?
Please do. Please do.
This is the card of the week. It is not a weak card, because it's the card of the week. It is very green and blue, and there's a goblin on it, too. It costs 4 mana. Nothing rhymes with mana. Card of the week.
I like how you really wanted to get some verses in there and stuff and make it a full-fledged song.
Yeah, man. You can't go cheap on Card of the Week. If nothing else, like, if I'm not going to provide quality, I'm going to give you quantity.
That's going out with a bang. I like it. Well, tell us about the Card of the Week, man, and why exactly you chose this as the Card
of
the Week.
So we're going with the Greedy Priest theme, because as you know, those are my cards. And this is the card that I have loved more than probably anybody else since the beginning. I try and convince people this card is good all the time. And it is a 4-cost spell, rare, called Mass Dispel. And it says, silence all enemy minions, draw a card. So you're paying 4 mana just to silence enemy minions, draw a card, which Scott, you know, has figured out is worth, I think, roughly 2 mana. So you're paying 2 mana to silence all enemy minions. And I just love this card. Partially, it's unexpected. There are a lot of cards worth silencing, taunt, so death rattles, special effects. I don't know. Something about this card just really clicks with me. I think a lot of it has to do with kind of what we were talking about earlier, where it's just like, oh, you're setting up a game plan over there? No, you can't do what you want.
Not anymore.
That cool combo you wanted? Not going to happen.
I think that if you took all of your love for this card, Josh, and set it right next to everyone else in the world's love for this card combined, I think that you would still have more. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it.
All right. So what would this card have to cost for you to play it?
Oh. Now, see, Scott's way better at this. I still am trying to figure out his exact arithmetic for figuring all that. He's way smarter than me.
Just
on this.
Just
this
gut instinct.
Gut instinct, two mana, I think it would be for sure playable. I think the hardest thing is that you're giving up a card slot, though.
Yeah.
You know, and unless your opponent's deck has a lot of buff minions or death rattle minions or something like that, where silencing everything really does take care of them, you're not doing that much for them, or you're not doing much for yourself to get ahead. Now, the one thing I have thought of that I think this card could see play is if the buff paladin deck ever becomes a thing.
Yeah.
Because you imagine, like, everything in their hand gets buffed, or Don Honcho hits the board and they've got, you know, 3 11-11s from the doppelganger or something like that. A Mass Dispel is just about the only card, maybe Devolve, I guess, that can actually deal with everything on your opponent's board and just weaken them down to their little wimpy stage all of a sudden. So, but unfortunately, that deck is not very powerful right now. So,
yeah. The biggest kind of plays I've probably had against it were against like Murloc decks, where you can just kill all their self-buffing.
Sure.
But yeah, other than that, I had fun with it in an aggro priest deck just to silence taunts. But
oh, that's smart.
Yeah, it wasn't really good there because you'd probably rather just play silence. I love everything about this card. But I agree. At 2 mana, I would say this is a good card.
Sure.
But at 4 mana, I still love it. I put 1 copy in every priest deck I make, whether it's Dragon.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
Wow.
If I have a spirit animal, this is my Hearthstone spirit animal. This little tiny goblin priest or gnome. I don't know what it is.
I was going to say, it looks, yeah, she looks humanish.
Yeah, she looks humanish, but I'm kind of colorblind.
Small
she
human.
Looks kind of green.
Does she?
It's probably just me being colorblind.
Yeah, I think it might be.
Okay. Well, I don't want to.
Definitely a gnome.
Humans are so boring.
Definitely a gnome, at least.
All right. I'll allow gnome. I'll still love the card as a gnome.
Well, it's a good card to go out on, man. I like it a whole lot. Well, as we bring things to a close here, we want to tell you guys about everything so that you can follow the show. Like we've talked about this whole time, the community aspect is what this show has been and always will be about. And I would argue even more so now, man, your involvement with this show, just by listening to this podcast, you're a part of the Happy Hearthstone community. So your involvement is going to help us to continue to make it the great thing that it always has been and the great thing that it will be. So you can find all the show notes, links, and videos still on Josh's blog, gamediplomat.com. It'll soon be over on mmoreporter.com, which is where all of our future episodes are going to be. And as always, feedback. Man, it's important, isn't it, Josh?
It is. That's what kept me going all these years, because there were definitely periods, maybe like, you know, a month here or there, where I really wasn't into Hearthstone. I wasn't playing it very much. And getting feedback and knowing that people are enjoying the show and kind of appreciating what you're doing, that's what keeps you going in those dry periods.
It goes a long way. Absolutely. So if you want to let me know, I mean, there's no better time than right now to tell me, man, I've always hated that they talked about why they're happy at the top of the show. I don't know. I'm just, you know, whatever you think.
I've gotten that feedback probably 3 times, Andrew.
Have you really?
Yeah. Well, which is funny, because like, I don't know if they're just like super grumpy. They're like, how dare they be happy?
I was just about to say, I don't know how many people it would take me to change it. Because just because you give feedback doesn't mean you're just going to change for everyone, right? But yeah. But if you do have any feedback, please send it my way. I'll be over on the Google Plus Happy Hearthstone community, which so many of you guys are on already. And my Twitter is Andrew Is Living. We're actually working to get a Happy Hearthstone Twitter up and running, so hopefully that'll come soon.
Sweet.
And you can email me. We're going to pass the baton, as it were, with thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. We'll also have comments on the blog, MMO Reporter, or Game Diplomat. But Josh, all of the people want to know where to find you in all of the places. So will you please, one last time, tell us where we can go and keep hanging out with you?
I would love to, because that is like, so I have 2 requests. If you've enjoyed this podcast at all and enjoyed what I've done on it, one, keep listening to the podcast, please. I'm going to keep listening. I'm actually really excited because I didn't listen to the episodes after I recorded them in the past, because it's really it's really weird to listen to your own voice.
Sure, that's fair.
I'm super excited to sub to the podcast and hear what you guys do. I'm really excited. So keep listening. Also, come find me somewhere in one of these places, right? Just come say hi. So at J Augustine on Twitter, nice and simple. Just go to gamediplomat.com. It has links to basically all of this stuff. I'm going to be talking about, like I said, my game development there and indie games that I'm playing, comics, stuff that I like, and answering questions about Cheez-Its and PC Gamer so far. please subscribe to the Game Diplomat podcast. I give out free games every single episode. Whatever game we're talking about, we give out at least 1 copy of that game, and almost nobody enters the contest. Especially after working at PC Gamer, that's the secret. Like, when you're reading like a magazine, oh, thousands of people read this, why would I enter this contest?
Sure.
We'd get like 20 entrants. Your odds of winning are so good. And for these podcasts, like contests that I'm doing where I'm giving out free games, I get like 3 people entering. Like, you have incredible chances.
Are never better.
Yeah. So, you'll hear my goofy, weird voice there. Hopefully forever. I'm going to keep doing that podcast as long as I am alive and able. So come out there.
And playing games.
Yeah. And if you want to talk more directly and just chat, I highly recommend our Discord server, which we just set up over the Christmas break or a little bit before. If you're not familiar with Discord, it's basically like, it's kind of like IRC, where you like set up a chat room and anyone can join and you just hang out in there and talk. And we're just talking about games all day. It's actually been super fun. We probably have like 10 or 15 really dedicated people that are always in there. And actually, yeah, right now, Callum Moore was just bragging about beating Reno Locke with Dragon Priest and talking about that. And so they were debating cards. Yeah, he was really proud of that.
That's just good.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup. So come in there, and I'm hanging out in there, and we talk all the time. And actually, if you were in that chat room, you knew Happy Hearthstone was ending like 2 weeks ago, because someone actually spotted a mention of it on the new site that I built. And brought it up in there, and so we had this conversation 2 weeks ago and then kept it on the hush-hush. So spoilers in there, too. Come say hi. But anyways, gamediplomat.com, just come find me. I would love to just stay in touch.
Awesome. Well, Josh, again, thank you so much for everything that you've done for this show. It'll be an honor to take it into the future. And like I said before, the best is yet to come around here. So we're so excited for you. Dude, you're going to be working for Blizzard.
I know, That's it's crazy. Yeah, and thank you, Andrew. I just want to say before we close it out, thank you for taking over the show. I know you're going to do an awesome job, and that's why I'm excited to keep listening to see where you take here and make it even better. I know I'm leaving this show in good hands, because if I didn't think I was leaving it in good hands, I would just close the show. But I have every confidence that you're going to make it awesome and even better, and I can't wait to listen.
Well, thanks so much, man. Kinder words could not be said. It's been an honor and a lot of fun to close out this season with you and to step into a brand new one. And thank you for joining us for this whole roller coaster ride. So excited to be with you here in the future. Thanks for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.
See you guys.